Good morning, RGF. It's a privilege, and I'm excited to be here with you again because time flies. I don't know about you, but time flies. I was checking while I was preparing and speaking with Pastor Paolo. When was the last time that I was with you guys? And it's been more than a year. It will be good for you, like, So I'll repeat it again, more than a year. So that means I need to come a little more often, you know? And it was September 21st, Sabbath 21st, that I was here with you guys. But it was a special Sabbath because, not only because I was with you, but also because at that time, my wife was expecting. We were only two at that time. Whew, and let me tell you, December, it was a beautiful month. December 8th, it was when we welcomed little Emma. And our life has changed. It's a beautiful change that I have many friends that they say, hey, as soon as you're going to have your baby, your life is going to change. You're not going to be able to do so many different things. I'm like, but as soon as Emma came, oh, man, it was beautiful. I'm enjoying it. I love being a dad. The only thing that has become a little interesting is how many times you need to change diapers. Man, I lost count, but I enjoy it. The only thing is that Emma and Claudia are not here with us today because something happened about Sabbath, more with babies. I don't know if you parents might relate to this. But when you're preparing to come out of the house and you have the baby already ready to come out, some explosion happened. And you're already going out, and it's like, and you need to look for clothes, look for new diapers and everything. And not just that, this just happened. As soon as we were about to finished praying and everything, Claudia said to me, ooh, another explosion just happened. So I was like, okay, this is your turn. So I was so happy that I was preaching because I'm not changing. Okay, don't tell her that. She's not here, so don't tell her that. Don't tell her that. All right. I'm just excited to be with you, RGF family. I thank Pastor Paolo for giving me the opportunity to spend this Sabbath morning with you. And just to enjoy opening God's Word and enjoy the beautiful things that we have in it. As David said, I have the honor to serve as the youth director, and we have been planning so many different things. This year, 2019, we have done so many wonderful things around the conference. And one of the things that we have started to do is a lot of resourcing churches, and not just resourcing them, but also training youth to be leaders in the church. There are six certifications that we're working on. She just came in, so don't say anything, okay? Nothing has happened. I love you, Claudia. I love you, Emma. All right, keep me in your prayers, because today is going to be a long day. This is a good thing to be in the family, you know? RGF, I love you. So we have working on six certifications for the youth and young adults. The first one is youth leadership, different seminars and different resources that to do with millennials, with Gen Zs, and all the other generations that are coming up. The other one, it's also elders that are overseeing youth ministries. It's a different type of thing being an elder that oversees youth ministries. What is the relationship that needs to have and all of that. Also, we're working on certifications for photography, multimedia, audio, so they can come, learn, and be trained to do it in the church. And the other ones are physical certifications. What do I mean by physical certifications? As you see all the young people, we like to look really good. I'm soaking it in so I can show a little, not a six-pack, but a big pack. But the thing is, we want our young people to not just take care of their bodies, but at the same time, teach others how to do it. More now that you have seen how this society is changing. Many plant-based things are coming out, and people are going towards it, and more physical exercising. This morning, when we wake up, even though it was really, really cold and everything, but there were people out running, taking care of their bodies. So we have an amazing temple, these are the bodies, so why don't we take care of it? And one of the things is encouraging the next generation to take care of it, so from now on, they can just continue doing it. So there are many things that we're doing, and we just want you to know that if you need anything, just let us know. We're here to help, we're here to serve, we're here to be a resource for your church, and because the best and the success of a youth ministry is not when we come together and do an event. To me, the success is what happened in the local churches. But let us know, because we have 184 churches in this conference, and only one director, one youth director, so you can imagine that I'm like, ah. But just let us know. Let us know what you need, and if we can come and do seminars or trainings here, we're here for you. So I'm just excited of what 2020 can provide to all of us in this conference. We're excited about the wonderful things that God has prepared for you and for me to just enjoy in this family that we call Adventist Church, that is growing and growing and growing, and the best is yet to come. With that in mind, close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we're about to open the best love letter ever written in the universe. We want to hear your voice. We want to feel your embrace. We're desperate for your love. With the assurance of God that you're with us, we ask everything in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Together we say, amen. Can I have the clicker, whoever has the clicker? Oh, man, thank you for that, for playing the bass. I appreciate that. When I get to heaven, I wanna do that. Here on earth, the only thing that I can play are the maracas, so, it's all right. It's all right. Or the guitar with the app and my iPad, but besides that, so pray for me. Anyways, the title for our sermon devotion today is Charged. Why charged? How many of you love to have your phones charged? Because as soon as you start to see that battery start to go out, there is something that happens in all of us. You start to freak out, like, where is the charger? Where is the cable? Or do you have this iPhone cable? Do you have this Android cable? And so many things. But not just that. Around the world, people are always looking to be charged. And what I'm talking about is energy. Anywhere you go, it can be wind power. It can be solar power, hydropower, and one of the biggest fights that is going on right now, it's what type of fuel is the one that we're going to be using later on. If it's going to be electricity, batteries, or we're going to still use petroleum. But everybody wants to be charged. Everybody wants to have electricity. Everybody wants to have everything functioning. Have you ever had the opportunity to, the experience to be in a place that the electricity just went off? And then 1 hour goes by, it's not coming back. 5 hours, 6 hours, a day, 2 days, 3 days. And then the food that you have in your refrigerator, it's not functioning anymore. It's not smelling as it should be. A week. Growing up, my parents were missionaries in El Salvador during the Civil War. And there were months that we had to be without electricity. So we had to learn how to live without being charged. Because food was not available all the time. Electricity was not available all the time. But everybody was looking for something to have power. And look around our society today. Everybody's looking to have power, to be charged, to be in charge. Because there is a need to have that electricity. But there is something that catch my attention, and it's book of John. If you go with me to the book of John, chapter 6, verse 68, something that starts to happen in this chapter. Chapter 6 of book of John is beautiful because it starts with what happened after Jesus fed 5,000 people. What happened after that? Everybody was looking to be charged. And you know that the best source of energy that we have is food. Yes or no? How many love to eat? I love to eat. That's why it doesn't matter how much exercise I do, my sportsmanship shape never change. I look like a ball, so that's why I look like a sport shape. So, but we love to be charged. So after this, that's how we start. Book of John chapter 6, it starts after a beautiful miracle. A lot of food was given out, and many people were excited. In the description, it says that everybody eat even to the point that they didn't want it anymore. They were exhausted of eating. They were so charged. They had so much energy. But he continues talking about that after that, people started to look for Jesus And they were going to different places. They were going to Capernaum. They just crossed the Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. They were looking for him, going all over, because they wanted to see more of that power. They wanted to receive more of that energy. They wanted to be charged. And there were some people that came close to Jesus, and they were starting to ask Jesus, "Hey, can you make another order of food? It would be nice to see more food coming out of anything." In other words, they were asking for miracles. And he said, "This is not how it works. The food that you need, it's me. The power that you need, it's me. The energy that you need, it's me. It's not about the food, the miracle that I perform. It's not about the power that you can get from electricity or from the wind or the water. No, no, no. What you need is me." And he starts talking about, "I am the bread of life." And the interesting thing is that many people were not able to understand what he was talking about. Many people were just, "I don't get it. What are you talking about?" To the point that they got so confused. Because in society at that time, people were not supposed to have the power that Jesus had. People were not supposed to be the answer for the problems. The only one that has the answer, it was only one. It was the power of the Romans. It was only that one person that was able to make a decree and everybody has to follow it. That was the one that has the power. That was the one that has the energy. That was the one that can give you the charge that they were looking for. But when Jesus said, "Hey, I am the bread. What you need is only me." They were like, "What?" And I love when people so confused and started to leave Jesus. They didn't know what to do because the society that they were living into, it was so crazy, going so many different places, so many different directions, so many different things that were confusing people, that when Jesus said, "I am the only thing that you need," they couldn't understand it. I don't know about you, but society today is very confusing. Working with youth and young adults, there are so many things, so many different ways that are influencing them, that they are making decisions, not because of what they can reason, but what they see, they make decisions. And more when Jesus is telling us today again, "The only thing that you need is me," it's really hard. To the point that even his disciples were like, "Oh, I don't get it. Even though I have been spending a long time with you." And Jesus realized that, and he made this question. He asked the question, "Hey," Simon Peter answered when God asked them, "Hey, if you want to go, just go. If you don't understand this, that's okay. But the only thing that you need to understand is, I am the only thing that you need." And then Peter said, I love this, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. To whom shall we go?" And I was digging a little bit about the story of batteries, because they give you power. And it's interesting because batteries are not something that are really new. In one of the archaeological digs that were happening in the area of Baghdad, Iraq, there was a very interesting archaeologist by the name of William Coyne that he discovered some funny-looking clay pots that they were like, some of them were elongated, there were some a little wider, but different ones. And they didn't look, they were used to drink something. And when they were studying them, they realized that they had been covered by a specific type of substance that is like vinegar, that is like a wine, that is a little bit that has acid on it. Some of the chemicals that are used also for batteries to create power. They continued to study them and started to see when were they dated from. And they were able to realize that it was 200 BC. So they started to look into it even more, and they realized that the power, a battery, is something that generates power. It's something that has been in need for so long. So they started to look about it. Maybe they generated electricity. Maybe they generated some type of fire, some type to make it warm. and they found it. But batteries, as we know it, it was designed by Alessandro Volta, a physicist from Italy. He started to put things together and realized that the best way to do something that can not generate power but keep power are layers of zinc with a special liquid or substance that it can be acid or something related to it. And then is when we started to see many different shapes, many different types, but the most popular ones are the ones that I have here. I know that many of you are using some of these ones, but AAA, have you seen AAA? Have you used AAA? It's just beautiful to use one of these ones. They're small, but they keep energy, and they provide energy. AA, C, or the type, the biggest one, the Ds, or the ones that you use for the smoke detectors and many other things, the square ones. But batteries, it's interesting because what it catch my attention is that these are the most popular sizes that we have nowadays around the world. I'm not making any promotion. If you see that all of them are the same brand, I'm not making any promotion to this brand. It's just the cheapest one that I was able to find. I haven't even tried it, so it might be that they don't have a lot of energy. But all these batteries are helping you to keep your devices functioning. Everybody's looking for that energy. Everybody's looking for that opportunity to be charged. But there is something about that question that Jesus asked his disciples and said, hey, you guys want to go, you can go. Are you okay with that? And when Peter said, to whom shall we go? There's nobody else. There's nobody else that can provide what you provide. There's nobody else that can give us the charge that only you can provide. There is no batteries anywhere that can give us that boost, that energy that you have. And with that said, Dr. Miles Monroe said, and I love this, he said, the greatest strategy in life is not death, but a life without a purpose. He also said, you are not important because of how long you live. You are important because of how effective you live. What is the charge that you're looking for? What is the type of energy that you're looking for? I love this because when he says it's not the greatest strategy, many people are freaking out when their electricity is not functioning or they don't have it, where their phones are not functioning. But what is the greatest strategy that you and I can have? Not being connected with whom? With Jesus. And this society is giving us so many opportunities to go somewhere else and connect and think that we're receiving that energy, when in reality, it's a strategy when we are receiving the same question that Jesus asked his disciples. Hey, there are many other sources that you can get energy, that you can be charged. But the only charge that you can have is me. Not just that. Also, Ellen G. White said, those who live for a purpose, seeking to benefit and bless their fellow man and to honor and glorify their Redeemer, are the truly happy ones on the earth. While the man who is restless, discontent, and seeking this and testing that, hoping to find happiness, is always complaining of disappointment. He is always in want, never satisfied, because he lives for himself alone. The book of Mind, Character, Personality, chapter, volume 2, is where you can find this. You see what is the best thing that we can do? Bless and help others. And what is it that Jesus was always doing? Blessing and helping others. It was the charge that he had. It was what he wanted us to receive. You want to be charged? You need to, yes, have your battery on. But not just that. Being close to him, he gives you 5 specific benefits that I want you to see with me. And if you have a Bible with you, I need your help, because I might be able to read it, but I want you to read it with me. So the first one, the benefits when we connect to the right source, when we connect to the right battery, gives meaning to your life. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Anybody can help me out? Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Here we find something beautiful that God has done for you and for me that gives the meaning that we're looking for. Anybody who wants to help me? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27.
Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they will rule over the fish in the sea, birds in the sky, over the livestock, and
two things that I want you to pay attention in this text. The first thing is, in what image are we created of? God. So let me tell you, look around. I only see handsome, beautiful people. Only one amen. God bless you. God bless you. I got to say it again because I only see beautiful people, handsome people. Everybody is just gorgeous. Amen. Because we are in God's image. Tell the person next to you, you look good. A little debated. But we are in God's image. And one and second thing that I want to mention about this gives meaning to your life. It says we are in God's image, but at the same time, he is giving us the charge to work towards others. He said, you are supposed to be taking care of everything that is around you. You are stewards, so it gives meaning to you. You know whose image you are reflecting. You know the responsibility that you have. You are somebody special. You're unique. You are created in such a way that only God can do. You are amazing. You are unique. What more meaning do you want in your life? Knowing that you have been chosen to do something amazing, to reflect God, and also to be the steward of what God has created. Amazing. Second thing, simplifies your life. Book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 33. Anybody else who wants to help me? 6:33, book of Matthew.
But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you.
Thank you. Simplifies your life. How many things is asking God to do? Asking us to do? According to that, how many? Only one. Look for me. But I don't know about you, but when we have an experience, a situation that we don't know what to do, we look all over. And when we just run off all of the places to go and ask for help, what do? We ask, God help me. When he said, hey, I want to make your life simple. Look for me. And everything else I can add on to you, you might not understand how that is going to happen, but I will do it. Simplifies it. Let me give you an example. In the mission trip that we did this year, we went to India. We prepared packages, hygiene packages, and also school packages to provide to all the kids that we're going to be visiting. We were visiting orphanages and also schools. When we arrived there, we started to put all the packages together, and the packages were about 1,937 to be exact. It was a week. We were visiting 2 to 3 schools and 2 orphanages a day. So it was just going, doing some of the activities that they were allowing us to do, and then provide that gifts for them. When we finished, after a week and a half, when we finished, I sat down with the guy that we had that was the one that was making all the contact with everybody. And the only thing that we needed to do, it was just bring some packages to give to the kids. But God take care of the rest. When we finished, he said, hey, you know what? You said that you had 937 packages, right? Yeah. Do you know how many kids we visited and provided packages? It's like, dude, I don't know. It was just a lot. It's like, well, it was more than 2,000. And we gave one to each and every one of them. I don't know how, but God multiplied it. Even at the end, when we finished, we had leftovers that we had to give to one of the schools. Like, hey, this is for you. God is telling you, hey, I want to simplify your life. Look for me. I am not going to tell you how I'm going to do things, but many things are going to be added onto you. Just do one thing. Look for me. You have problems? Look for him. You don't know what to do, what career to take, if you're going to continue in that work or not. Just look for him. He's going to do something in your life that you don't know how he's going to do it, but he will do it. He only said, look for me and everything else. I'll add it on to you. I know it's hard to understand. I know it's hard even to accept. But he does things in ways that we will never understand until we get back home. Just simplify, accept the simplicity of the life that he wants you to have. Look for him. Third thing, focus your life. It helps that happen in your life. Book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. While you're looking for it, this is the last chapter of a beautiful book that Paul wrote to the Hebrews. In chapter 11, he's talking about all the wonderful heroes of faith that has been. But in the 12, these two texts, text 1 and 2 of chapter 12, he is concluding something unique, something special. Who has it? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Thank you. It's making a beautiful comparison. Somebody was running. Many people have been running. Many have done it because those are the witnesses that we have, all the examples that we have. But all of them had their eyes focused on who? On Jesus. And in that race, there are so many things that are going to be catching your attention, looking from one side to the other. But as long as you have your eyes fixed on Jesus, everything's going to be okay. It helps you focus your life. It's a beautiful thing. If you want to be charged, look for that victory that God can give you. His love. It gives you meaning. It simplifies your life. It focuses your life. And also, it motivates you. He's not only the one that gives you, okay, this is for you. Go have fun. No, no, no. He is always with you, motivating you. He is cheering for you. Book of Psalms 138, verse 8. Motivates your life. He is not just the one that gives you something. He's the one that keeps also beside you, helping you, motivating you. Anybody has it? Psalms 138, verse 8. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. He already has a plan for me. He already has a purpose for me. But many times, I am looking for batteries. I am looking to be charged all over. But I forget that he has something prepared for me. But if I return to him, he gives me meaning, simplifies my life, hugs my life, and motivates me to keep going forward, doing, performing, and making a reality the purpose of why I was created for. And the last one prepares you for eternity. Book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. The last thing. He starts giving you meaning. As soon as you answer that question the same way that Peter did. Hey, to whom shall I go? There is no other source of energy that I can be part of. Only you. Because you give me meaning. You help me to be having a simple life. You help me also to be focused and to be motivated. But he does all of this for one specific reason, to prepare us for something special. Book of Hebrews chapter 24, verse 25. Anybody? As you see the day approaching, support one another. There is nothing like blessing and serving people, just as Jesus did. But there's one thing about batteries. Batteries only have a certain amount of energy. And we're always depending on batteries. Cell phones, they depend on batteries. And let's be honest, when you have your cell phone, you have some meaningful ways to do things. It simplifies your life. It helps you be focused if you keep checking the to-do list that you have, your calendar. Or maybe also motivates you. I don't know about you, but there are so many apps that can help you wake up early, keep track of your carbs or exercise or the things that you have to do, and you feel motivated to do it. But one of the things is that whatever that needs energy that is always connected to a battery, it's not forever. As soon as the battery runs out, It needs to go back to be plugged. And I finish with this. God is asking you to do only one thing. You want to be charged? You need to come and remain connected. Remain plugged. Because as soon as you leave, the battery that you have is going to run out. The battery that you have is not gonna sustain the energy. You're not going to be charged all the time. The best way to remain charged, to remain good to go, to remain always having that meaning in your life, to be simple life, motivated, focused, and knowing that you're being prepared for something special is remaining connected to the source. Remaining connected to Jesus. Paul said, to whom shall we go? If you are the only one who have words of eternal life, my invitation to you is, look for the words that he has for you. Many times, the words that he gives me are not the same ones that he's going to be giving it to you. But you need to have that relationship with him. A personal relationship. As soon as you start to develop it, meaningful life starts to come. You start to realize why you are here. You start to realize the many blessings, the many talents, the many gifts that you have and how you can help others. And it's easy. Only one thing is asking God from you. Look for me. I can help you with everything that you have. But look for me. Everything else will be added to you, but you need to look for me. Simple life. There's going to be so many lights around you that are going to be trying to catch your attention. There's going to be so many different distractions around you that is going to be asking you to look at them and forget me. Remain focused to me. And if you are, I am that person that is beside the racetrack, always going with you. You can do it. Come on, let's go. I know you can do it. Hey, we can do it together. He always motivates you because he don't want you to miss out what he has for you. Heaven, a place that nobody has ever imagined yet, that nobody has ever seen. But with the descriptions that we have, it's just beautiful, amazing, a place that is no worriness, no sorrow, no pain, no nothing. But the only thing that you need to have is remain connected, not to a battery that is going to run out. Remain connected to God, to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for giving me the honor to enjoy these Sabbath hours with my family of RGF. I thank you, Lord, because a year and a few months ago, I was here, and it was just cloudy on me. But now we are three, the family is growing. RGF family is growing. But Father, there are so many things going on around us that we need to be reminded that there is no other place that we can go but you. To whom shall we go? The same words that Peter said are the ones that we need to say. To whom shall we go? You are the only one who has words of life. Father, I'm placing in your hands my RGF family. You know each and every one of us, the ups and downs that we have, the moments where we're looking for answers. Remind us that we need to be connected to you. And with the assurance of Father that you're with us. The assurance of Lord that you're putting your Holy Spirit in this church. That it can continue to shine so bright and give that warmth of your love that only you can provide so many people can come and enjoy it. So this family can continue to grow. With that assurance I pray. And together we say, amen.
As we prepare for the last song, would you like to just stand up and sing with us one more time? And that was a great message, and may we all find that recharge and our purpose. When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, love, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, and it's all about you, Jesus. King of the last word, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, love, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, love, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you have already given us, and also for the many blessings that you have prepared to give to all of us. Father, as we continue to enjoy these Sabbath hours, we ask you to always be with us. Send your Holy Spirit, your protection, and also your guidance. Thank you once again for the blessing of our GF family. In your name I pray. Amen.
I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Hello. Hey. Hey, you guys, I think David forgot to mention about the Thanksgiving baskets that RGF is providing. We're supposed to hand in the potatoes, the pie shells, and the butter today. If you haven't, you didn't get a chance to do that, you can give me money today, and I will go buy the stuff and bring it to church tomorrow, because I think tomorrow is when they're packing everything. So if you want to give me money, I will be happy to go buy, you know, whatever's left, because apparently people forgot. So if you want to donate any money, just let me know or give it to me.